multiple blessings upon us today. Thank you, Jody, and others that helped us today. And we thank God for his blessings upon us today. Amen. I know this is going to be tacky. I know it's going to be untactful. And it's probably going to be really boring to you. But I'm really excited today about something. I started this notebook last year. I wrote it down November the 23rd, 2022. And almost everything I've preached since that date is in this notebook. Today I'm on the very back page finishing up. I'm still long-handing everything. I don't do computers. You can do it if you want to, but I like my way. But all the way across, friend, from the building of the building to people's phone numbers to numbers on the back, we're going to auction this off. No, we're not. That is going to my children and to my family. They lose it in the computer, but I've got probably 50 of these notebooks over the last 30 years of my life. And I know that was a little bit untactful this morning, but I'm not trying to toot my horn. I'm just thankful that God has given me the grace to do what I've done for as long as I've done it. Amen, and I thank God for it today. I often get myself in trouble when I get up here. Now, last week's message, by the way, it's not in the notebook. Some of those that God just dropped in my heart are not in the notebook. And I often get myself in trouble because sometimes I even get up here in the pulpit and decide at the last minute, okay, God. And this is the way the Lord speaks to me. He speaks to me and he says, well, you've studied and you've done what you're supposed to do. You've put the work in, but now I want you to do what I want you to do today. And this is not one of those sporadic, instantaneous moments, by no means. This morning I've studied what I've studied. But this morning could be a very difficult message not to deliver. But it could be a very, very difficult message to live by. It's very difficult sometimes to adhere to the Bible. Somebody says, oh no, it's not. Well, you wait till I get finished this morning and let's recalculate. Jesus and Paul and others said some things that sometimes makes us want to just go hide under a rock. And hopefully nobody would even find us for a while, you know. So this morning's going to be a little bit challenging. And I think I'm going to have to take my coat off on this one. I'm already way up there temperature-wise, and I hope that's not offensive to nobody. I was told this morning only great men wear pink. You've never seen me in a pink shirt, I don't think, because I don't know that I've ever had one. But my wife so chose to buy me some shirts, and I'm thankful for her to do that. And those of you online, just go get a cup of coffee, and you'll catch up later today. But I am glad my brother Will back there. He picked me up. That Will, not that Will, but that Will. So there's at least two of us that's great men today, Will. Thank you for that. If you have your Bible today, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. Last week, I preached spontaneously. Hey, there's another guy in a pink shirt or two. I love you guys. Praise God. I didn't know we had so many guys here this morning that's great men. I ain't by myself. But last week, we spontaneously preached John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. here's where it begins to get difficult. Because love is a precept of Christianity. The Bible in 1 John says the words that God is love. So much that the Bible says it's not that you loved God, but God gave His life. Jesus gave His life for you and I to consecrate and to give Himself a living sacrifice for you and for me. Now, before I walk off into this, I want to kindly put a flag on the page and airmark the page and let you know that everything that you and I do as Christians are measured. I have met very loving, caring, compassionate Christians. But I have met Christians who are Christians as they say they are Christians, but they are as mean as a junkyard dog. Those are the kind of people that ruin everybody else. Those are the kind of people that actually puts a black mark on Christianity. Now let me move forward by simply saying this. I have been extremely blessed here at Thomasville Church of God for right at 13 years. And we have loved one another. We have cared for one another. We have stood by one another. Although there have been a little hiccup along the journey every now and then, I still believe the Bible is true. And the Bible identifies the Christian by love. It's not how you say you treat me, but it's how you treat me. Because your actions speak louder than your words. Now I know I'm already on dangerous territory. And the reason I say that is because the devil cometh but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And if there's ever anything that the enemy would love to do, he would love to conquer, isolate, and divide a church. You say, who you been talking to, preacher? I ain't talking to nobody. I ain't heard nothing bad. I'm oiling the machine. I ain't heard nothing bad from nobody. But love is something that Jesus did, Brother Steve, out of a commitment because He knew that it was what man needed, not what man deserved. So that person sitting next to you may be under your skin this morning. They may be an agitator. They may be somebody that you really didn't even want to come in and sit down beside of. But here's the thing. God has said, I'm getting a lot of messages. I'm getting a lot of feedback this morning, honey. But here's the thing. Love is something that we choose to do. Love is not easy. Sometimes they don't deserve it. Sometimes you just soon hit them upside the head with a crowbar to love on them. Make you feel better anyway for a while till they hit you back. Come on, somebody. But let me get back up here. Love is something that in a lot of ways it's very hard to understand because it is defined in so many different ways that I don't even know anything about. It's hard to love sometimes. It's hard to reach the unreachable. It's hard to love somebody that don't even want to be loved. It's hard for you to love somebody that is abusive. It is hard. You don't love their actions, friend. You love their ever dying soul. But it's very difficult at times to do that. I told you this was going to be a hard message. When Paul began to write this, Paul identifies this element of love as one of the foundational truths as a Christian. Now, here's something I want to try to lay the foundation on as I move forward with this. Because we talk about vision. Those of you that's missed Wednesday night, we've talked about vision and mission on Wednesday night. The foundational cornerstones of the church. How is the church built? And I'm going to talk about the church tonight at 6 o'clock. And I think for me as a pastor, one of the first things that I look at is if we're going to say, as far as our vision and far as our mission, vision is what you see, mission is how you carry it out. So one of the things I see as a church that we must, listen close, that we must forever make a commitment to is to love one another as Christ has loved us. So there's where I want to try to share this message as I believe that God put in my heart. It's one of the foundational truths of the Thomasville Church of God is that we're going to choose to love one another. Somebody might say, well, I'll tolerate them, but I don't know about that love stuff. Well, I want to try to somehow or another get this ingrained within our heart today because Paul wrote this, even though I'll get into what Jesus said a little bit later. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. And again, it's one of them hard things that we oftentimes don't like to talk about, but we want to talk about it anyway. One of the commentaries actually said that it is love that makes all other gifts work. You can have prophecy, you can have teaching, you can have all the other things that goes along with the gifts of the Spirit. And Paul comes back and Paul identifies what's going to take place through 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. That charity is love, grace, charis, I think is the Greek word on that. But we can see that Paul is saying, I can speak in tongues better than everybody else. Or if you speak in tongues, better than anybody else. If you miss the very foundational element of what it takes to be identified as a Christian, he says, you have become nothing but a loud noise. Now let's stand and go to the house. We can work on that one, can't we? Told you it'd be hard today. Because you know what? I'm just going to meddle for a minute. Sometimes it's hard to love. Sometimes it's hard to love those that you have been mistreated by. I struggle there. I admit, I struggle there. It's those that you have bad memories of. Maybe you have been abused. Maybe you have been neglected. Maybe you have actually been abandoned. Maybe you have been done wrong, however that may fit. And again, let me just say this. You don't love a person's sins. You don't even love the person's actions. But you look beyond the sins and you look beyond the actions and you choose to love them in, as we talked about last week, in a way of agape. Agape love, from my understanding, is a God kind of love. And it's the highest form of love identified by God Himself, is because God loved you, not because you earned it, not because you deserved it, not because you merited it, but because He loved you simply because He recognized and realized you needed to be loved. The Bible says this, and I looked it up, and I'll just go ahead and share it with you, because the Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. Love makes no excuse for sins. Love makes no excuse for you to mistreat me. Love makes no excuse for you to wrong me. But even though those things has been done, the Bible still boils all of this back down to one simple thing, that we are to love one another. When Paul begins to write this, and let me just go ahead and read the whole chapter there, because it's going to take a little time this morning to get through some of the stuff that I want to talk about. Paul says in verse number 2, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and have knowledge, and though I have all the faith, so I have removed, I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." Then he says, "Charity suffereth long." It is long suffering. One of the fruit of the Spirit is long, long suffering. I heard Chuck Swindoll years ago, and I don't listen to these guys much anymore, but years ago, I heard Chuck Swindoll actually preach a message on this. And the way he preached it and how I remember it is because everywhere the Bible says the word charity, he said, you put your name in there. You implant your name in the Scripture. I'm not going to pick on Sandra too much, but she's always on the front row to assist me. So if verse 4 was what it was, it would say that Sandra suffereth long and is kind. I'm going to pick on you a minute, Sandra. Sandra envieth not. Sandra vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. In other words, it don't brag. It don't boast about it. It just is what it is. When you begin to look at this, it says it doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. But rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. And when he that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Paul comes back again and he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. And when I became a man, I put away childish things. What is he talking about there? My little grandchildren last week, they were in the car. Shannon talked about this yesterday with me and her for a minute. They were out of town and she drove in late. She said, I brought them in late so they wouldn't say, who looked at me? Who touched me? You know, he's looking at me. And Paul was saying, when I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Love is required to develop us into the mature person that God would want us to have, to be. And I'll say it again before I go on to the next thing. A lot of times love may not be deserved, but yet in the same regard, it is what you know the person really needs more than anything else. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three. But the greatest of these is love. I guess in some ways we could look at the Ten Commandments today and identify what the Ten Commandments say. Exodus chapter 20, and I'm not turning there, but it actually, the greatest of the commandments is actually to love the Lord thy God with all your soul, your strength, and your might. If you look at the commandments, God said you're not to have any other gods before Him. That God is a jealous God. And it identified God's creature to love the Creator. Love is even identified all the way back in the Bible so much that love could technically be classified or categorized as the 11th commandment, because we see this in the Scripture. Again, love, if you begin to look at the Scripture itself, when you begin to look in John chapter number 13, these Scriptures are Scriptures that we all know. John 13, looking in verse number 34, this is actually what identified them as Christians. When you look in verse number 34, it says it like this: a new commandment that I give unto you. A commandment. The 11th commandment. We're big on thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not have no other gods before me, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, etc. But yet Jesus said, a new commandment that I write unto you, that you love one another. So if Jesus said that we're to love one another, why would it not be one of the cornerstones of the vision of the church? Is that we make a commitment. Are you with me today? I'm pastoring today. I'm not an evangelist right now. I'm pastoring. Is that we identify these things in the Scripture, then Jesus knew. I'm convinced that Jesus knew when He was talking to these disciples, Brother Steve, two Steves, three Steves, the Trinity. I'm convinced when Jesus told them this, that He knew, because He knew what they were going to have to go through, Sharon. He told them not to carry a coat or a scrip or money in a bag or anything else. He knew that foxes had holes and the birds have the nest, but the Son of Man hath not a place to lay His head. He knew the hardships that was going to take place as they became His disciples. Because Jesus was soon, you can read this, this is there in John 13. This was right before John 14, where Jesus soon would depart, where He would tell them His departing message, I go to prepare a place for you. And Jesus just came by their way long enough to let them know, before I go away, you've got to get a hold of something. You've got to love one another. Now watch this. The bigger picture of not loving is simply this. I think it was at Antioch in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. I believe it was Corinthians 1. I didn't look it up. But they were first called Christians at Antioch. There was something so instinctively different about the people of that day that identified them as Christ followers. Now, we in the church today, we call ourselves Christians. And I got to be really careful, because I don't want to get back on what I was on a couple of weeks ago right here. But the love of Jesus that people see in your life and my life is what really identifies us as God's children. His love in us. Not only a love for Him, but a love for one another. You say, well, preacher, who have you talked to this week? I'm going to say it again. I ain't talked to nobody. But that's one of the things that Jesus said that identified this early church. And He said, when you begin to look at this in the Scripture, a new commandment that I write unto you, John 13, 34. And He says this in the word of the Lord, a new commandment, that you love one another. Watch this. I told you this was not going to be easy today. No man taketh my life. I lay down my life for a friend. Are you ready? We can't even get Sunday school teachers. We can't even get leaders. And then Jesus says to love one another. And Jesus said, If you look at this, love one another. As he says, as I have loved you. Here's the thing. If this thing called Christianity is good enough to have, my goodness, it ought to be good enough to share. And we share that in our words. We share that in our deeds. We share that at the grocery store. We share that at the restaurant. Can I be a little boring for a minute? I don't care if they've got tattoos from the floor up to the neck up. If these girls is there, and again, that's a whole, I'm just meddling for a minute. These girls that's working in the restaurants and they say their worst time of the week for them to work as a waitress is on Sunday. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. That just takes a little bit of kindness. Well, they didn't get my hamburger fried right. They're not the cook. Okay, I'm off of that. Leave it alone. But I just said that to say this. The greatest opportunity that you have to share the gospel is when you're out there. And you're in the workplace. And you're around people you don't even want to be around. You talk to people that you just soon not even talk to. But yeah, it's the greatest opportunity for you. You don't know what they've done to me, preacher. Just be kind. Let your light so shine before men. And Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. What kind of love was that? It's an unconditional love. Again, our commitment here to church as a pastor, no matter what God sends us through these doors. Are y'all with me on a Sunday morning? No matter what God sends us through those doors. Well, they sat in my seat. You don't have a seat. You don't own a seat. Well, I bought that pew. Take it home with you. I don't care. And somebody might challenge me on that. You might come in with an empty row one day. I don't care. It's because how we treat people matters for eternity. And I'll be honest with you. I've been told, I don't know this, I've been told, if you hang around Jesus long enough, you'll begin to take on the characteristic of Jesus. And if you hang around a person long enough, you'll begin to take on the nature and the characteristic of that person that you're hanging around. So I will say with that, now Sandra, I may be wrong, but I've just been told this. If a congregation has a pastor that is a long-term pastor, and if that pastor portrays the right spirit to that congregation, that eventually that same spirit will rub off on that congregation. Some pastors are wolves. Some pastors are harlots. Some pastors are there for their own personal gain. But there's those that really do genuinely love you. And I hope that I can categorize and classify myself and have proven myself through the years as somebody that cares about you. Jesus said to love one another as I have loved you. Sacrificial love. Unselfish love. I think about the sacrificial love and the selflessness of Jesus and the unconditional love of God. And I said all that to say this. When somebody comes in and they're not like you, they might not even smell like you, they might love them. I had a black lady in Monroe. Her name was Frida. And Frida would just say, well, I don't know if I can say that or not in the church. She did. But she said, if they come in acting like the devil, maybe they are the devil. I'll say it in the correct way today here. Just love the devil out of them. Just love them. Just love them. You say, well, preacher, this is not really what I expected today. I'm not giving you what you wanted. I'm giving you what you needed. Because you know what? Eternity for some people's lives are going to hinge on this message. And if you're one of those today that if you have the disposition of a junkyard dog, maybe you need to reconsider the way you're living your life. The next verse, 35, he begins to say this. And he says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. My disciples. My students. My pupils. My learners. My followers. If you have love one to another. Now I have to change gears for just a moment, because I have to talk about this for just a few minutes. And I know tonight, this morning's being different. I'm not apologizing for it. Sometimes surgery takes time. I've never looked at a surgeon. I came close a few weeks ago. I don't care what you do, just hurry up and get her done. I was there a few weeks ago. I'd have hated for him to have done something in the quickness of the moment that would have made a bad mistake. So surgery takes a little time every now and then. I feel like we're in the operating room this morning. We're working slowly on some stuff. Let me just share this, because I believe this is very important that we talk about this. The book of Galatians is a scripture that we all know very, very well. Years ago, as a pastor, God gave me a quote. And this is one of the things that I processed in my own mind in order for me to be better able to love people and better able to accept people where they're at. Everybody's different. Everybody has different struggles. Everybody has different problems. People in this room today, if we started around the room and we began to pour our heart out and we were transparent, everybody in this room, and there'd be people in this room going, oh my God, I didn't really know they were going through what they were going through. We would do that. But yet there's also individuals that do not operate in the spirit of love. They operate out of a spirit of hatred and hate. Our world's full of that. There are also those that, I'm not going to say here, you, I'm not saying that. So don't say the preacher said. I'm not going, but I'll say it in a general concept of society. That way I won't hurt too many feelings. But I have found out that if people complain enough, they'll find enough to complain about. Well, I don't like this at the church, and I don't like that at the church. The pastor should have done this, or the pastor could have done this, or the pastor might have done this different. I didn't like the way people that complain enough, you know what I say? Hey, if you don't like the way I do it, come on, honey, meet me on Monday morning and follow me around for a week and let's do it your way for a while. Do it the best way you know how. But I said all that to say this, that if we're not really careful, we get into this spirit of murmuring and complaining. Did Israel not do that? They didn't go into the promised land, Numbers 13 and 14. I talked about it Wednesday night, because everything that God had already promised them and Moses and Joshua and Aaron, they were trying to facilitate it. And all the people done was murmured and griped and complained because it wasn't being done the way that they were wanting it done. You say, are you hearing all that at our church? No. Have you heard any of that at our church? No. And people say, well, everybody's got an opinion. Yes. We all got an opinion. But you've also got a head and a leadership and the way that it's got to be done decently and in order. I'm not egotistical. I've never done it that I know of. I've never come in like a bull in a china shop. I've never tried to blow my head up on my shoulder and say, oh, he's the pastor, he's the preacher. No. Because before you ever got to John 13, 34 and 35, what did Jesus do? Jesus, he rose up from supper and he girded himself with a towel and he went to Peter and he went to the others and he began to wash the disciples' feet. And Jesus said that you being my children, you being my disciples, you ought to also look at the model that I just gave you, and you ought to also to wash one another's feet. And we've not got into a foot washing, good foot washing service here in a long time. And somebody says, well, that's just symbolically. Well, I believe it was practical in the Church of God. We believe in foot washing, but I think we wash feet every day when we choose to be kind and serve one another. In Galatians, and I may have to stop here with Galatians for just a minute, but in Galatians, I just wanted to share this because as I was sitting at home studying earlier in the week, I believe there are certain characteristics that we see in the book of Galatians that Paul actually talked about, and actually what he was trying to say. When you begin to look in Galatians chapter 5, and again, I don't have time to talk about every bit of it, but Galatians chapter 5, verse number 13 says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not that liberty as an occasion for the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Look at 15. "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." Thank God that ain't Thomasville. Thank God you love one another. Thank God you honor one another. Thank God you respect one another. Thank God you respect your pastor. Thank God you respect his wife. Thank God that we flow in a nature and in a way that's pleasing unto God, that glorifies God, that honors God. But yet Paul wrote to this church and said, if you don't walk in love, you're going to devour one another. You're going to eat one another up. Now, let me try to conclude by reeling this thing back in for a few minutes. I'm not finished. I'm just going to try to conclude. Again, when Paul was writing this, Paul says the remedy. He says again in verse number 15, "But if you devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed." Verse 16 says, well, how do you do this? How do you do this? 16 explains that. He says, "This I say then, walk in the power of the Spirit. They that are in the flesh are the flesh," Romans 8. "They that are in the Spirit is by the Spirit." I measure whether I'm in the Spirit by my words. Are you with me? I measure whether I'm in the Spirit by my deeds. I promise you, your body will follow your words. I promise you that. When you begin to look at this, he says, "This I say then," verse 16, "walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And Paul says in verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusteth against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do things that you would." In other words, the things that you would do in the Spirit cannot be accomplished because you're walking by the flesh and vice versa. And then he says in verse number 18, he said, "If you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Only contained to the elements of the law and keeping all the rules and the regulations and the law at that time, the Mosaic law, and then all the law of the Pharisee and the Sadducee." And Jesus and Paul comes back and he writes this. Now watch this. Paul writes in 19, and this is one of the things that I struggle to really get into because we all know this. And if I had time, I would break all of this down. He says, now how do you know if you're walking in the Spirit, or how do you know if you're walking in the flesh? How do you know if you're walking in love, or you're walking in lust? I'm going to be plain. He said, now these are the works, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, which is strife, emulations, which is quarreling and fighting, and he says wrath or strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not, I didn't write this, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So Paul breaks this down, and Paul begins to teach, and Paul begins to tell us of these that are walking by the power of the flesh and these that are walking by the power of the Spirit. Then we see verses 22. We know these very, very well. We practice these. As Christians, we practice these. But today, I ask you, which side of this are you living on? Are you living on the side of the flesh, or are you living on the side of the Spirit? Because he says, but the fruit of the Spirit, number one, love. Somebody says, I can't love them. You cannot by yourself. You cannot do this under your own power. Because even the Bible says in the book of Romans 8, I believe it is, because the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Paul said this in Paul's writings, and I know I got to hurry. He says, but to live is Christ, to die is gain. And then he comes back and he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not that I live, but Christ lives in me. When we become a born-again child of God, my friend, we see in the Scripture where the Bible teaches us that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. God will help you to love the very people that at one time you had detested. God will put a love in your heart for others. Somebody says, well, when you fall in love with Jesus, you love the things you used to hate and hate the things you used to love. God will change you, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. 1 John 4:4 says that. Greater is he that is within you. And maybe you're struggling in your Christian walk. Maybe you're struggling in love. Maybe you're struggling. And the only thing I can advise, and the only thing that I can tell you today, is let Jesus love others through you. And again, as I said earlier, there have been times as a pastor, I'm going to be honest, not at Thomasville. Can I be honest without you thinking anything bad of me? There have been times in my life as a pastor, I just like to haul off and smack the ever-loving you-know-what out of somebody. Love. Just smack the love out of them. I just like to smack them. You say, preacher! How many of you thought that? Preacher! But you know what? Because of the love of Jesus, you look at them as just an old, merciless sinner that needs to be saved and born again. I thought about this. I thought about, what kind of shape was you in before you ever got saved? What kind of condition were you in? Well, I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth, and I came out of the womb reading John 3:16. I've never had a problem in all of my days. Liar, liar, pants on fire. We've all had problems. We've all had challenges in life. And the only thing I'm trying to get to today, and again, I haven't seen too many glitches along the journey. Somebody says, well, if you think it, you might as well say it. Don't ever fall for that. Because the devil's going to put that seed thought right in your brain. But once you open your mouth and you say something to somebody, you cannot retract those words that you just used to destroy them. Now I'm going to say something and it's going to sting a little bit. Okay, I've got to say it to prove my point. If somebody says words like, you've got to be the stupidest person on earth, and you've got to be the stupidest person that's ever sucked air. That sort of stung, didn't it? If somebody hears that being said to them, you're going to damage them for the rest of their life. They're going to go the rest of their life with low self-esteem. They're going to go through the rest of their life thinking that they're never good enough. They're going to go through the rest of their life. I was telling the guys back there earlier, I had a man, I was about 13 year old, 14 at the most. Me and another guy, his name was Jimmy, we were working and doing some maintenance around the guy's house. I mean, how much maintenance can you do when you're 13, 14 year old? But the man didn't have to tell me that. He got his, my buddy, he got him to paint around the windows and trim around the windows. And so I went through the next years and years and years and years of my life thinking, well, you're no good. You can't paint because Mr. Case that day, you know, I mean, in my mind, Bob, that's what I thought about. I stand in the man's yard that day and I said, what do you want me to do? Russell, I was a worker. I was ready to work. And that old man looked at me and he said, I don't want you to do nothing. You ain't good for nothing. 13, 14 year old. I left his yard, my tail tucked between my legs, so to speak. And for all of the rest of my days, I thought, I can't do nothing. I ain't good for nothing. And my self-esteem, hey, I'm going to tell y'all something. For me to do what I do, I mean, it's nothing but God. It's a miracle because my self-esteem as a kid was nothing. I had no self-esteem. I had no drive. I had no motivation. I had none. None. I just wanted to do what I did and everybody leave me alone. And Brother Steve, the morning I got saved, and I've told y'all this probably 100 times, but I'm going to tell you 101. The morning I got saved, Wanda Parkins, she's still living, she's a good lady. Wanda Parkins came to me about where Fonda's sitting in Dale at the little old Clyde Church of God. And as a teenager, she walked back there and she said, Alan, we love you. Do you want to go pray? I said, yes, I do. I didn't know exactly at that moment, Pauline, what I was going to for. I really didn't. But that morning, the Lord Jesus Christ saved my soul. Never backslid, never looked back, never wanted to go back, nothing back to go back to back. But you know what it hinged on, Russell? If somebody showed me enough care as a human being, a person, and they said to my face, we love you. Do you want to go pray? And sometimes, friend, I said every bit of that to let you and I know today that it might just simply be showing somebody a little bit of love that's going to turn their life around. And Sherry knows me more than anybody knows me in this room. And sometimes it's been very difficult to choose to love. Love makes no excuse for sin. Somebody says there's this thing called tough love. Yes, there is. Sometimes you've got to know the difference. Sometimes you've got to do it in the spirit of love, but it's still love. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 23. And he says, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Let me ask you this, and I'm done. This is not easy, but I'm going to ask it anyway. It's very difficult for me to ask this because I feel like I may be talking to somebody's heart. You don't have to accept what somebody done to you. You just have to love them through Christ. If you've ever been done wrong, primarily the young ladies and maybe some of the young men, if you've ever been sexually abused in this room, it would be very, very, very difficult to hear what I'm saying right now. But you know what, friend? You just have to release it and let it go. You can't hold on to it. You don't love the abuse. You don't love what you went through. You don't love the pain. You don't love the memory. You don't love any of those things. But you just love God. Love Jesus in spite of the pain. Let it go. You say, I don't know how to do that, Pastor. Well, the only thing that I can tell you is this. Pastor Bolin said this one time to us when we were at Trinity Chapel years ago. When you really know you've forgiven somebody, are y'all ready for this? And I had to learn and I had to grow through this myself. You know when you've really, really forgiven somebody for the offense that they've caused against you? It's when you quit rehearsing it in your mind. Love them in Jesus the best you know how and quit talking about it. When I was younger, there were influences in my life, pastors, people I would call, and people that I would talk to, and different. I wore the phone out calling Brother Dotson. You ain't gonna believe what they done to me. You ain't gonna believe how I was treated. I wanted empathy. I wanted sympathy. I wanted somebody to say, poor little old preacher Allen, bless his heart. They're just talking about him. They just won't leave him alone. If you're talking about me, here's my deal. If you're talking about me, it's okay. But here's the thing. At least pray for me in equal measure of time that you spend your time talking about me. At least be fair to me. You know what I mean? At least give me a break. But there come a time, and I heard Pastor Bolin say that when we were going through some of the stuff we were going through, is when you've really learned to love somebody and you really learn to let it go, it's when it no longer plays as a tape recorder over and over and over and over in your mind. I want you to stand with me today. Today's message hit different people at different places. Different people is going to process this message different ways. You got family members. I've got family members. We've got relationships, husbands, wives, estranged situations. And maybe today that situation is a situation that you feel like that's kept you in bondage for years and years and years and years and years. And you've had a very hard time in your life loving Jesus, loving God, loving anything. Because every time you start getting close to somebody, or every time you start loving somebody, all of a sudden, all these floods of emotion and all these floods of memory starts entering back into your heart. And this morning, the Bible just sent me behind the Word of God long enough to tell you to love. Love is a decision that we make. It's not an approval of the way they treated you. It's not an approval of the way that somebody has abused you or anything else. But love is something that you choose to do for you, that will free you from the prison of your mind and the bondage of your heart. Just let it go. Father, I've done my best. I've done what you sent me to do, or I feel like I have. Now, Lord, here's the practical part of this, is walking it out. Walking it out every day of our lives. Lord, I believe today that this message has found different people at different places in their relationship, even with you. Father, you teach us in your word that we're to love you. Love the Lord thy God with all of our mind, all of our strength, and everything that is within us. And Lord, I pray that this message today will not fall on deaf ears. This message today will go and do exactly what it's sent, been sent to do. And that is for you and I today in this room and whoever's listening to me, to be renewed in our love, not only to God, but to one another. And Father, I pray, God, that you just touch us and help us, Lord, as a church, to choose to love one another more than we do anything else. It's to love one another, to support one another, and to honor one another, and to respect one another. And Lord, we thank you for what you've already done at this church and for the lives of the people that are here today. Now, Father, I pray, God, that you'd be with us and bring us back again at the appointed time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say this before you take a step. I love you. Before you take your second step, all Jesus Jam people,